dates. I was glad that you guys had some good dates while we were going. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you guys have been hearing about vacation and all the goodness. Praise God. And so, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I think I have the darkest tan I've ever had. Praise God. And so, yeah. So, I want you to know that we are super excited to be here today. I want you to know that we enjoyed vacation and being away, but I got to tell you something. The Lord always calls us back, and the most exciting part about ending vacation, quite honestly, is to get to come right back in here and enjoy the presence of God with each one of you. I want you to know that the Lord is good, and I believe that this is going to be a great year, and we're going to see the Lord do great things in our lives. So today, I just want to be so thankful that I get to be here with you and worship with you. And I just thank God for what he's doing in our lives. So let's just worship him today. Amen? Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah.
Amen. I can't tell you how excited I am to worship with y'all this morning. I have missed you. We could not wait to get home to get here with you all. We miss you. We love you. And we're so thankful for your faithfulness and for how awesome each one of you are. And we're just ready. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woo.
Save my life, I was found, now I'm free. Walk gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. Stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. In the blessing and the pain, you are worthy. Whether you say yes or no, or wait, you are worthy. And through it all, I choose to say, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. Stop singing your praise. When I finally see your face, I'll cry worthy. When you wipe those tears away, I'll cry worthy. Above every other name, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. Give you my worship.
You still deserve it.
You're worthy. You're worthy.
Jesus,
you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and praising. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song.
worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. Come on. Hallelujah. We just want to focus on Jesus. Amen. Get back to the heart of where he's at in our worship. Amen. Amen.
Bless your heart.
to the heart of worship. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all.
Silence of our room and stuff, and you all understand that Jesus did it for you, right? And that everything we do is for him, and your worth comes from him and nothing else. Some people will get up and preach and think that they're important because they're preaching. That's not the truth. You're important because Jesus died for you, because he loves you. Don't think we're any more important than you because we're holding a microphone and you're not. You're worshiping the Lord and being part of his choir just like we are. You're lifting your voices straight to him just like we are. And this is not what makes me important. It's not what makes them important. What makes them important is Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen? Some people are looking for worth. They're looking to feel better. And so they'll find it in every little thing, in every little crack and corner they can try to find it in. People try to find it in alcohol. People try to find it in drugs. People try to find it in being the most toughest, meanest person they can ever think of because then people respect them. That's not respect, that's fear. And a bad kind of fear. Some people try to find it in their jobs. And I'm glad you're good at your job. And I'm glad that your boss loves you. And I'm glad that they love what you do for them. But that still is not where your worth is found. Because when one day comes, when the trumpet sounds and we go up in the air, your job stays here, your car stays here, your house stays here, any jewelry, any clothes, anything that you may hold dear to your life, another person may stay here. And you will stand before the living God with you and you alone. He won't accept I went to church. I didn't live it during the week, but I went to church. He won't listen to, well, I heard what Pastor Phil said. I heard what Pastor Phil said, and I went out and I was nice that day. You can't live off of Pastor Phil's faith. Amen. You can't live off of my faith, his faith. You can't live off of your spouse's faith. Kids, you cannot live off of your parents' faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Our faith will encourage yours. But you should be better. You will be better than us. Each generation should be better than the last. I expect him to be so much better than we were. Listen, our worth, our self-esteem, who we are, it's not found in anything in this world. You're not even home right now. Do you know that? You are a foreigner on a land that is not your home. Our home is heaven. Our home is with our Father. That's where our value, that's who we are, should really come from. And I'm telling you that every single person in here, you are more precious than any stone that has ever been discovered. You are more precious than gold or silver. Jesus has made you more precious and worth more than anything by laying down his life for you because he loves you so much. That should be what our focus is. That should what we should live our life for. And the more we seek him, the more we find him, the more we read about him, the more we become like him. And the more you're just going to walk in a room and people are going to flock to you because they don't understand why they're pouring their soul out to you. It's because you have the answer for them. You have Jesus for them. That's the point of it all. Amen? Amen. I felt like God telling me that there's people in here that are basing stuff off of everything that makes no sense. Makes no sense. I don't care. I mean, I care that people talk to you about it. Don't get that mixed up. If somebody told you who you were when you were a kid that does not line up with the Word of God, you are not dumb. You are not retarded. You are not a waste. You are not a mistake. I don't care what was said into your ears as you've been growing up. What is truth is that you are a child of the living God, that he died for you, that he knew you before he placed you in your mother's womb, that you're a chosen generation, that you are part of a royal priesthood. That is who you are. You are a child of the living God. All of those words from yesterday can only have an effect if you allow them, because he has replaced everything from the world and now sits in your heart and says, I'm Lord over your life. You are no longer Regina of yesterday. You are the Regina that's full of me, full of faith and power, full of love, full of mercy, full of grace. All of the pain inside of you, I'm taking away. So you are full of joy. You're a vessel that I'm going to pour in to pour out. That's who we are now. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've made us vessels. Thank you that every single person in here is important. Not because of what the world says, but because of who you are and what you have said over them. And I rebuke every voice that tries to tell them different right now. In Jesus' name, I pray a peace on top of those people. How long have they been going hurting from people's words? Let's just release them from it now, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I release you from those words. The chains are broken. Chains are broken in the name of Jesus, never to be put back on. Just let there be a peace in them today, Lord God. And let's remind them of what you have done for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Of what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you believe me now.
He turned my whole life upside down. He took the old and he made it new. It's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. And I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done. This is me. This next verse is me.
I thought I deserved to be 6 feet beneath the earth. For all the things I've done, the things I've said, choices made that I regret.
Jesus, what can make me whole?
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus.
You're
amen,
so
amen.
Good.
Hallelujah.
So good.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Man.
The refreshing, the strengthening.
Yes.
The goodness and the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it is good to see all of you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
It's even better to step into that with him.
Amen.
Huh? To step into the presence of God, worshiping him.
I tell
you, much
I was so excited to be able to come and just worship with you all today. And just my faith has been stirred to step into the presence of God. Amen. And I got to tell you something. We love to go on vacation, but I think the most exciting part is when we get to come back knowing that we're going to come into a place of worship with the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah.
I know we were gone for a while, but we cut our vacation short so that we could be rested up to be in here.
Amen.
And worship with you guys. And not me up here and not be yawning and half with you, but so that we're fully with you worshiping. Well, you might be fully with us all the time. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Man.
Praise the Lord.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
All the time.
And
you
all
have
the
to just
time, God is good.
You might just have to let me sit in this. It's been a couple weeks.
Amen. Praise
God. It feels good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, there's something when you sit by yourself too. Mm-hmm. But there's something about this corporate.
Amen. Amen.
That's just irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Amen. Praise
honey,
God.
I enjoyed spending time with you, but this, nothing beats this.
Whoa. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we are excited because in just 5 days from now, right?
Yeah.
We are going to step into an evening where we get to enjoy the Love Your Marriage Seminar. Amen. And so we're going to have Pastor Nicole and Pastor Randy with us, and Pastor Kylan and his
and Margo,
wife, Margo Boozer, and then we're going to have Pastor Rick and Lynn with us, and of course we're going to be here with you. And what's exciting is we get to start out with some food. Hallelujah, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, amen. I want you to know that there are being prepared some special pasta dishes for you that you're going to love and enjoy. And then we will have some kind of dessert there, but we're going to eat together. And then we are going to talk about marriage and the goodness of God in the life of us as those who are dedicating our life and marriage to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And how he brings you together and how he will help you every step in the course of all those things. So it's going to be a great time. So if you're married, even if you're just newly married, or if you've been in it for a while or been in it for a long time, there will be aspects that are important for each of you. And for those of you who are not yet married, it's still good for you to come out and get some education and get some preparedness for what God is going to bring into your future. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the name of
the
Lord.
Amen. And it's called Love Your Marriage. Some people are in marriages and they just exist. And they forget the love that brought them together.
Amen.
You know, kids will drain you. They're amazing and I wouldn't trade them for anything, but they will drain you.
But grandkids will revive you.
Ooh, just hold on, parents. Just hold on. And grandbabies are coming. Maybe a long way away, but they're coming.
Praise God.
But you have to learn to fall in love again with your marriage. Fall in love again with your spouse. If you guys are just coexisting, it's not what marriage is for. It's not just to coexist. It's to love one another, spend time with one another. And you parents start connecting with your spouse again, those babies are leaving you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They are leaving you. And then what do you got left? You cannot build your house around your babies.
Amen.
Now, we have to take care of them and make sure they're provided for and love them. And I'm not saying none of that. Obviously, we have a spoiled one.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But he left. And the only time he comes back is almost when I beg him. No, he comes over sometimes. And it's so amazing to have him over there. But when he leaves, it's just the two of us again.
Woo!
And what are you going to talk about? What's going to be your focus? Well, how are you going to live the next, oh, Lord, I don't want to even say 50 years. Because,
amen. Woo, praise
it's
God.
Been
yes.
31. Lord, help me.
You're making me feel mushy, baby.
Let's switch to another subject then. But come on out. Please go online. On our Facebook page, yes. I'll repost the link again. But there is a link in that post that you can go in and sign up online so that we have a good idea of how much food we need for that event. And we're just going to have a great time. Amen?
It's going to be beautiful.
And we have a good thing that we need to do. Our children's church is getting bigger.
Yay!
Amen? Amen. And so you know what that means. That means we need more workers and helpers. Yep. So if you would like to work and help in Children's Church, first see Miss Amber.
Amen.
She is our director. She takes good care of your babies with her helpers and her staff that she already has. Amen. They're amazing people, but they need help.
They do need
And you know help. They need help because you know your children.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Listen, I'm about to go help the teens because I know my child.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah. No, but also remember that if you feel led to help teach children, that those opportunities are there. So in every aspect that you have in your heart to help out, make sure you touch base and let the Lord move you in that area because it's exciting, it's good, and we need to invest in our children. Amen? Yes. Remember, the Bible says that if we will train them up in the Lord when they're young, then when they're older, even if there's times where we slip off out of directions, God will have a root in them to call them back and bring them to where they need to be. Amen? So we want to make sure our heart is available for all of those things.
Amen.
Do you have anything else, babe?
No, I can go sit down, yeah?
I guess. If you don't want to stay by me like you have all week long. Ooh, praise the name
Anybody
of the
want
Lord.
To do a girl's day tomorrow?
Praise God.
Get me out of the house. Give me away.
I want to take just a few minutes here, and we're going to go ahead and make sure that the children have gone to children's church so you guys can get out of here, and then the teens can get away from us. Praise God. Hallelujah. They look a little too excited to do that, those teenagers.
Pastor Phil.
Oh,
we
yes.
know it was your birthday.
Huh?
We know it's your birthday while you was gone. So Candy's going to come up here and present you with
something. Oh, no. Yes. I was trying to slip by.
Your birthday was Thursday.
Yes.
And we want to give honor where honor is due. And we want to wish our pastor the best second happy birthday.
Yeah.
So let's sing happy birthday, but we also have this for you.
Praise God. Wow. Praise God. Well, thank you guys. Amen. I will tell you that I'm very thankful and I feel blessed and I'm glad that I get to celebrate this birthday with you guys and just take another step towards what is really the goodness of God. Amen. So thank you guys for your kindness and remembering my birthday. I do appreciate it. Oh, yeah. And I do want to let you know that our family and faith sister, Miss Jeannie, did go through her procedure there, and on Friday, everything went really well. In fact, they did less than they thought they were going to have to do, which is a great blessing. Amen. Amen. So she is on the road to recovery and restoration. So just keep her in your prayers and just thank God. And anything you know you feel led to pray for her or do, just make sure that we're keeping her up in prayer and she heals up.
Yeah, they kept her in the hospital for a couple more days to get her calcium level up. So, and they've got it up, and I just read my thing. She's going home.
Amen.
Praise God. She's on her way home, or she's going to be going home. So continue to pray that this heal quickly, that no side effects or anything, that the surgery was perfect, and this heals quickly, and this is over. She's Amen. Been dealing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then pray that her calcium levels just stay up and where they're supposed to be. Amen?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we're going to get right into the Word of God this morning. And it's kind of funny because I've been contemplating if I was going to do this and start here. And so I am. I'm going to start at a much more personal level this morning than I normally would, praise God, and just tell you something that happened at the very end of our vacation, which is going to be foundational to what I'm going to preach to us on today. What was happening was that the only thing that Miss Regina doesn't like about vacation is the flight there and the flight back. And she just hates the travel that we go through to get to our destination. And I want you to know that it really picks up a level or two on the way back. She really just wishes it was over and that she didn't even have to go through the airport and all those things. And so what was amazing was I had already prayed and said, Lord, you know, to really just finish this well, you know, just let things go smooth and let us just get through the airport and just let it be something that's not so stressful for my sweetie pie. And lo and behold, guess what? The first thing that happens when we get to the airport to leave, we get through everything and we're getting up there. And right when we get ready to board, they give me this little slip of paper that says that I'm going to sit way in the back of the plane, separated from my sweetie pie. And I want you to know the worst thing she hates is that when she's going home and she's tired, even though she doesn't admit it often, the one thing she does appreciate is that when she's by me, she feels safe and she can rest on me. And if she goes to sleep, she knows I'm there. So all of a sudden, this was just stolen for the longest part of our flight. And, huh? Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. So it wasn't the longest part of our flight. It was the first step of our flight. But what happened was, I'm just telling you right away, I thought, Lord, this is exactly opposite of what I had, you know, prayed about. And so it was really interesting because they went through all this stuff and there was nothing they could do to change it, even though we had made our arrangements months ago. They couldn't tell us why we got switched, why they changed it. You know, she booked our flights at the same time, same card, everything, and so they could not give us any explanation except for, hey, the plane is full and this is how it is and we don't know what could have happened, but, you know, you guys, this is where we're at. So it was crazy because I was just still thinking, Lord, you know, and I just kind of didn't tell her, but I was still in my heart saying, Lord, how can this be? And what was amazing was even though
that... I actually was calming him down.
Yes, yeah, she was. No, she was, because I wasn't having it. I wasn't happy. And she said, honey, you know, but it wasn't the natural side of it. It was that I was in faith for something different. And so all of a sudden we're going through, and it's terrible. They're sending us on our way. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing you can do. I said, well, I'm still going to ask the flight attendants. We get to the plane, and they're like, oh, no, you know, we don't know. Maybe they did it because... there's a little child or family, and I'm like, you know, just all these reasons. But what was interesting was we got to our seat, and, you know, Regina said something to the guy that was sitting there. And this man, in a moment of time, in a millisecond of time, said, oh, I'm out of here. Hey, you guys sit right here.
And he said, where's your seat?
Yeah. Yeah, she said, you don't want to go where this seat is. It's way in the back of the plane. He said, no, absolutely. Give it to me. I'm out of here. And he just took off and let us sit right there. And you know what was so powerful about it is that the Lord was reminding me that when we come to the limitations of mankind, money, power, plans, anything that we do, when we come to the end of that, we have to make room to remember who's really in charge. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So we are going to divert to something that I was going to go over as part of our offering message today. Did we do offering? Well, I guess we're going to put it at the end of service today. Amen. Praise God. Because I want to start right here because I believe that this is going to lay the foundation of where we're going to hang out for the next couple weeks. But it was so amazing because immediately when I had that situation happen there, the Lord reminded me that when I first started out in my arena of faith, I want you to know that I told God at a very young age, because I got saved at 5, and then we won't get into all that, but there was two things I told the Lord at that time. I said, Lord, I will do anything for you, and I'll go anything, anywhere for you, as long as I don't have to get on a boat and I don't have to fly. Never put out there what you don't want to do for the Lord. Because you will spend a lot of time doing exactly those things. Amen? So we're just going to start right here because I think this is a great place for us to get started. Hallelujah. And we're going to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says, if any man, in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise concerning things of faith, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil summarizings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I want you to know something, that in this time of our life, I believe that the Lord would require each one of us as individuals, and really in this nation and in the world, it is a time for us to put things back in order of God being forced and first and foremost and in the forefront of everything we do, say, or are. I want you to know something, that one of the most difficult things that we need to recognize over the generations of life from the Bible till now is that it seems that the Lord has had to remind us time and time again that when we get to that place of comfort, when we get to those places of blessing, when we get to those places where life becomes easier and not as difficult as it used to be, that it's at those times that it's most critical for us to remember that it's not our own power or ability that put us in this position. It's critical for us to remember now in this time that we live that above all things, we have got to remember that when our life gets comfortable, the worst thing we could ever do is forget that God brought us where we're at. I want you to know something, that on a large scale, what's unfortunately being seen in our government and our places of authority is that even though God sovereignly built this nation, even though God brought us here by faith and that our forefathers made a declaration that the number one thing we want to be able to do in this country is serve the living God, I want to remind you that just like Moses, the number one thing he told Pharaoh was the main reason we need to leave Egypt is not just because you're treating us as servants in this land, but the main reason we need to leave Egypt is we have a responsibility to first and foremost worship and honor and do things God's way, and we have to serve him. Remember, Moses made a declaration to Pharaoh that said, hey, buddy, when we leave here, we can't even leave our cattle here. We're not going to leave one hoof back here in Egypt because we don't know what was going to be required for us to serve God. And we want everything, not just our physical and our spiritual selves, but we want our possessions, our land, anything that we own, we want it to be available to first be honoring towards God before it does anything else. I want you to know something, that in this scripture that we're reading right now, we've got to understand that anything in our heart that's in our own power and our own mindset without being submitted to God is prideful, disrespectful, wrong, and can lead us to a different place than where God has us. Remember, the Bible is clear about this. It says that there are ways unto men that men can live, but at the end of that living in that life, that man lives on his own without the submission authority of God over him, will lead to destruction in bad places. I want you to know that each one of us, certainly I know I have had those times in my life where I found myself doing things in my own way, in my own power, and it never led me to a place that was any good. It says, remember, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I want you to know something, that the Lord has no issue with you accumulating wealth. The Lord has no issue with you having an abundance. But here is where we can get ourselves into trouble. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want you to understand something. God has no concern over what we have and the abundance that's in our life. In fact, remember one thing he told Abram is, Abram, if you come and follow me, one thing that's going to happen is blessing is going to follow your life. You're going to be overflowed with the goodness that I can bring to you. But the issue here is that this is why God says it's better to give than to receive. This is why God requires for us as people to give. And not just financially. He requires it in every area. Spirit, soul, and body. Remember, he says, not only are you going to give financially, but you are going to have to give mercy. You are going to have to give forgiveness. God even asks us to practice some things, especially in our most critical relationships. Isn't it amazing that we forget that physically and emotionally, God requires us to put others before ourselves? One of the reasons why he gives you other people to love is, remember, the Bible says this, if you can't love those who you can see, you certainly can't love God whom you cannot see. And I want you to know something, that's why the biggest benefits and blessing of our life is not found in material wealth and material goodness. The biggest blessing is found in the love relationships that we develop. I want you to know something. That's why the two most powerful relationships ever released on this earth is the one-on-one relationship that you as an individual receive in the love and the faith of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And whether you like it or not, it's biblical and we're going to get to it. The next most powerful relationship on the face of this earth is husband and wife. Praise God. You know, my son said something to me one time that just declared such biblical revelation that he didn't even know he was saying it. But he said, Dad, you know, when it comes to me, I didn't get to choose you or Mom.
Yes, he did. I believe he
doesn't have any chosen. Amen. He says, you know, I was just born to you guys. He said, but you two picked each other. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something. That one thing that is sovereignly woven into husband and wife that we need to remember is that we had to use faith and humility to trust each other to be the partners for the rest of our life. You know, one of the safest things the Lord ever told me is, Philip, for your wife to submit to you in the terms of being a husband and wife, he said, do you understand what guard she had to let down? He said, do you understand how vulnerable she had to make herself? You know, she had already been through an abusive relationship. And he said, do you know how much she's given you vulnerability in all of these things? And I want you to know something, that we need to start understanding that we first have to become vulnerable to God just to be saved. Think about how many doors we had to back away from. Think about how much disappointment and hurt that we had to walk through to say, Lord, first of all, I humble myself. I need you to be my Lord and my Savior. And then to believe the Bible, that the blood of Jesus could make you whole and forgive you from all the things that we know we've done that have not been right in life. You know, it's interesting to me how many times the enemy will try to come back and lie to us and tell us that there's no way we're good enough to be the children of God. Thank God the blood is bigger than anything we've ever done or anything we could ever do or anything that we could ever be. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I want you to know something, that it's time for us to make sure that we are back in order with God first above all else. You know, when he gives us his commandments in the word, and sometimes we think, well, why do I have to give? God already has everything. You know, he's not asking us to give financially because he has a need. Listen, the Lord has taken care of the church from the foundation of the church. But he wants you to give to make sure that you are never connected to finances or to power in a way that would subvert who he is and the authority he wants to have to be the one and only in your life. And he doesn't want to be the one and only because he's on a power kick or he has some need. He wants to be the one and only because he knows that you and I are incomplete without him being who he is supposed to be in our life. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is amazing. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In fact, the next verse says, but thou, man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want to remind you today that when we think about putting things back in order, it's hilarious because Pastor Regina gave us a confirmation of what I'm preaching to you right now when she said, don't forget that this is not our home. We're strangers here. You know, the Bible says that we are aliens. We are strangers. Listen, I want you to know something, that there's no other nation that I would ever want to call my home. I am proud to be an American. I want you to know something. I am proud of our history. You know, sometimes people say, well, we had slavery. We had the Civil War. I say, hello, do you understand that we had those things less than any other nation in the entire world? I want you to know something. slavery was in existence way before it ever happened in the U.S. And slavery has been in existence in other countries longer than it's ever touched this land. What I am so thankful for is that our forefathers said, no, in this nation, we're not going to have a class society. We're going to treat all people as created equal, and we will even fight for that right to have it in this nation. I tell you what, slavery is not an embarrassment for me, my heritage, or this nation. We should celebrate the fact that it left our shores so quickly and that God brought conviction on us as a nation in such a quick way that slavery lived less in this country than any country that's ever existed. How about that, putting that on the news? Well, hallelujah, praise God. I want you to know something, that there is something that we need to really consider, and that is the fact that we're blessed to be a part of this nation. I want you to know something, that I had generations of people that brought to this country through slavery in my own personal heritage. I want you to know something. After this nation became a free nation, none of us went running back to those other lands that we were part of. My family stayed here. And we became very proud of the fact that we get to live in a free nation. You should too. Instead of criticizing our history, we should be thankful of the fact that we made transitions out of dark places quicker than anybody ever has. And the way we did it was submission to God and His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought we'd shout a little more over that, but I'm happy with what we did shout. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to understand something seriously. Above all time and above all things, it's time for each of us to make sure that we really are living for God first. I'm going to go back here in the Bible, and I'm going to remind us of something. Praise God. As soon as I reiterate these characteristics that should be in our life, remember that we should flee all of that stuff and follow after righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Right standing with God. You know what righteousness is? Making sure that God's way is before our way. Making sure that those things that are critical to God are critical to us. I want to remind you that we should be pursuing godliness. Do you know what that is? Having the character and the nature of God reflected in our life. Faith. Faith should be primary in our life. Faith should first be in God. Faith should be that we are in love with Him. Faith should be that Jesus is Lord. And because He's Lord, I do everything else based upon that primary foundation, that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And my number one assignment on this earth for each of us is that we're going to please God. Amen? I want you to know something, that right on top of faith should be love. Ooh. You know, we walk by faith that works by love. We should know that faith and love are interwoven. Amen? Remember, God said, I so loved the world that the first thing I did was give. Amen? And I want you to know something. If we're going to so love, the first thing we should do is be willing to give. Amen? Give our best. Praise God. Give the fullness of our love. Give the fullness of our help and our strength to others, just like God did for us. And then, of course, patience. Baby, I'm glad you're so patient. Amen. Praise God. But to be patient. And then to have meekness. You know, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest of all men. And here we are, seeing a man that stood up against Pharaoh and said, let God's people go, and if you don't, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And he just spoke all these bold words about what was coming to pass. Well, how can we look at him and say that he was the meekest of all men? I'll tell you how. Because he submitted himself to God. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. Meekness is saying, Lord, I put my marriage before you, and instead of trying to control it all on my own power and control the person I'm in relationship with, God, I pray that because of your covering, we humbly grow up in the fullness of who we are. We humbly take care of each other. We humbly support each other. God, I'm not going to manipulate somebody to do everything my way. I'm going to leave room for you to lead them and guide them and bring them into who they are. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I'll never forget one day when the Lord told me that we need to increase our tithe. Do you think I just walked in and told my wife, hey, woman, we need to increase our tithe, and I don't care if our bills are paid, and I don't care if you like it or not. I'm serving God, so we're going to increase our tithe. You hear me, woman? I'm the man of this house. You hear me? I didn't do any foolish stupidness like that, that my reconditioned old man dressed up in a false personality of pretending like I'm God, full of pride. Praise God. What I did was I said, Lord, if this is really you and you want me to increase our tithe above 10%, praise God, I said, then you have to speak to Regina and let her know. And I was getting ready to travel for our company, and the next thing I know, she came out and she said, honey, I think the Lord wants us to increase our tithe. And I said, you do, baby? And she said, yes. And I said, she said, do you know how much? I said, nope, I don't know how much, and I don't want to know. Let me have time to pray about it. I said, why don't you wait till I'm getting ready to leave for this trip, and I'm going to be available at about 8 or 9 while I'm driving, and you call me at that time, and we'll talk about it. She called me, and guess what? The tithe amount was exactly what God had shared with me that our tithe should be. And I said, praise God, honey. We're going to agree that this is how we're going to tithe. And I got to tell you something. God just opened up things for us that we never expected to experience in areas just because of that time of him just moving in moments like that. So make sure that when we're living by faith and love and we are saying that we're following God's way, let's make sure that we humbly truly are following God's way. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. You know, I'm going to go from here right to the very beginning of after I share this last statement again. Remember, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to eternal life, whereunto you are also called. I want to remind you of something. If there is an ability to fight the good fight of faith, I want you to know that obviously we could fight the fight of faith incorrectly. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Remember that the Bible says that when we start releasing our faith, let's not be tossed to and fro. Let's release our faith and stand our ground. And let's believe God that he's going to help us. Let's believe God that not in our own power, but because of who he's created us and redeemed us to be, that we are good enough. That we're not going to fail, we're going to be successful. We're not going to be destroyed, we're going to be rescued. And we are going to have a hope and a future, not because we're perfect or great, but because he is. And because he will help us every step of the way. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. And with that being said, I got to go back to the very beginning of the Bible because I just want to share a little bit for you. Hallelujah. In this great book, book of Genesis, I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 1. And this is during the creation of the earth and the Lord doing all that he wanted to do and what he had declared and what he had begun to do as God. And I'm just going to pick up. You can read this whole chapter, but I'm just going to pick up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And I'm just going to share something with you. And it says, And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. I want you to know that this chapter got me in trouble for the first time when I was in school. And it was because I was in my sociology class, and he was talking about all these theories of how we morph into this and morph into this, and, you know, Marxism and all that stuff. And he was talking about, you know, how you could come from an ape and you could come from this. And I said, teacher, you're supposed to be educating us on the truth. And he said, well, how dare you think I'm not teaching the truth? And I said, because what you're saying isn't biblically founded. And he said, what are you trying to tell me? I said, the Bible says that God created seed to produce after its own kind. I said, so unlike your theory, they're saying 10,000 years from now, a cow can be part donkey and this, that, and the other thing. I said, I'm going to tell you something. We are never going to have honkies on the earth. Meaning a horse and a donkey at that time. But I also just started making up different names. I said, we're never going to have, you know, just all these weird things. I said, because the Bible declares that the Lord said he created every seed after its own kind. I said, so from now until we go home, a chicken, thank God, is going to be a chicken because I like fried chicken. I said, and a duck is going to be a duck, a deer is going to be a deer, and a cow is going to be a cow, and we are going to be people. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. But I just want you to see something here in the power of the Word of God, because this is critical for us to really see and hear what the Lord is saying here. And after God did this creating, God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Hallelujah. For all those creeps out there, I thank God that we have dominion over you. No, I'm kidding. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And we'll go into this later. I don't like to elevate it too much, but I want to remind you that the Lord said after he created male and female, at the end of this, he says that he saw creation was very good. And huh? He said that creation was good. Yeah, I know. I'm bringing it up. That's why I'm bringing it up. I don't like to have to bring it up, but I want you to know something, that after God created, he said it was good. And then he saw man doing all that he was supposed to be, working with God, calling out names for animals and everything. But in the midst of that, he said, although this is good, I see that it's not good for man to be alone. So he made a woman, and I have to admit that after he made the woman, that's what he said. He looked at creation and said, it's very good. Praise God. I won't even go into someone else's theory that says that because man was made out of dust, we're actually weaker than women who were made out of bone. Hallelujah. Because they're made out of bone. A stronger substance than that dirt he first used to create man. But no, but really I wanted to get into this because here's what the Bible says. He's going to put man on the face of the earth so that we would have dominion. I want you to know something. We could never have dominion separate from God. You know, it's critical because God made man and woman. And you know what he would do? He would come every evening to spend time with us. Amen? I tell you what, he would spend time with Adam and get him in his presence so that when Adam named the cow, he was naming it in unity with God. When Adam named a duck, he was naming it in unity with God. I want you to know something, that God gave us a foundational primary layout from the beginning that humanity and life on this earth could never function or exist the way it was supposed to unless man did it in unity with God. Everything is better when it's ordered God's way. And I'm telling you that for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about everything is better with God. Amen? And I want you to know that during this time, I expect you to have your heart open. Whether it's over your finances, whether it's over your relationships. You know, we're going to get into the fact that we aren't even supposed to parent our children without the influence of God. And we're going to get into the fact that it's not of God for you to love your children more than you love your spouse. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when you've gone through abuse and certain things, I'm telling you, that baby can bring you a security that if you're not careful, you can feel more secure in that baby's love than you even do God's love or your spouse's love. And that's not healthy. You're going to have to learn the order of God. You know, I used to have to tell Philip this, and I don't know if his mom really liked it at first when I would tell him, but I would say, Philip, I have to love God first, then your mother, then you, according to be biblical. Praise God. Amen? And I would tell him that so he would understand that if I had to discipline him or if we had to have deep conversations or if I had to set rules for the house, I was going to be in unity with mom before I was in unity with him. We won't get into all that. No, but I'm kidding. She said, shouldn't that still be the rule? Praise God. And yes, it absolutely is still the rule. I want you to know something, though. We're going to really be looking at our lives over these next couple weeks, and I really want you to be praying, whether it's in the area of your finances, whether it's in the area of your spouse, or whether it's in the area of your children, step back and say, Lord, bring my emotions down, bring my offendable little attitudes down, bring all these things down, and objectively heal me, bless me, give me insight in the errors of my ways so that I can right align myself with you, because I want nothing more than the success of my spouse. I want nothing more than the success of my children. I want nothing more than to honor you in the area of finances, in the area of every aspect of my life. I want nothing more than to honor you. Because when we honor the Lord, that's when everything goes from a natural status to the forever status. See, when we walk in unity with God, that's when we start taking our lives and our children and our grandchildren, and those friends who we love, that's when we start taking their life from just a natural experience to the supernatural understanding that we are going to live forever in Him. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Well, I've probably ran my mouth enough. Hallelujah for today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Amen. I want you to be so blessed going into this year in what God will do in your life. Amen. I want you to just know that God is with us. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare your blessing over our lives right now, Father. Lord, I thank you that supernaturally, God, this is just going to be a season where you are calling us back into order, Father, where you are calling us to make sure you're the priority and you're the foundation and you are our everything, God. And God, you're just going to help us make sure that everything we do is rooted and grounded in you, God, because that is the place where life can become the abundant life that you want us to have, Father. Lord, I thank you that we're going to put you first. Father, I thank you that we're going to be able to oversee our lives, Father, and evaluate areas that need to be refreshed with your authority and your goodness and your presence and your kindness. And Father, you're just going to strengthen us, God. Revive us and help us, Father, and move us forward, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just put Mimi before you right now, Father. And Lord, we pray for strength in her legs, Father. Lord, I break the power of swelling, Father. I break the power of muscle deterioration, Father. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to loose healing, muscle strengthness and recovery and full health to her, Father, that she can walk and move and have mobility. And Lord, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, I just put Stacy before you, God, and we pray for her son, Father, and we pray for her son and his wife, and Lord, that they're having their first child. And Father, we're asking you for a good experience, God, a healthy baby delivered in the fullness of your ability, God, to bring that baby healthy, whole, and to just bless them, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you are even now flooding them with the wisdom and the clarity of having this child, Father, and being the parents that will lead this baby in the way of the Lord, Father. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we already put Jeannie before you, Father. We thank you for complete healing, God, total recovery, and God, that her health would be better and stronger than it was before, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God, we put Caden before you right now, Lord. And Father, we break this sickness, Father, off of him in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you for recovery and total restoration. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. That I'm always available to pray for you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm always available to pray with you. But I want you to know that if any of you are feeling like today you just want to pray that the Lord would really truly be ordered as first in your life, and that he just brings some order to areas that you need and touch some things that you need, I'm going to be up here specifically to pray for you and pray with you. And so I obviously said that we would take up offering at the end of service and forgot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I really wanted to express to you why God wants you to let him have your offering. You know, at one point in the Bible, the Lord says, hey, why are you stealing from me? And people said, how are we stealing from you, Lord? He said, in the areas of tithes and offerings. And they were like, does God need my money that bad? No, that wasn't it at all. God was saying, by not letting him be involved in your finances, you're stealing his opportunity to bless you, to bring favor, and to extend the reach of what your finances can do. If you let your finances live on their own, things are going to fall short. If you let God be involved, he's going to extend the life of everything you touch, and he's going to make it longer and better for you. Amen? So we're going to put the buckets over there. I'm going to stand over here. If anybody needs prayer, you come up, and I'll pray with you. And as the music plays, let's bring our offering. And Father, I put your blessing and your hand upon this offering today, God. I thank you that you will open the windows of heaven for your people. I thank you that you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf, God, and that you are just ready to do all that you've promised to do, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Bring your offerings to the Lord and stop by if you need prayer. Have